Hello, everybody from the nation's capital. Welcome to an episode of the Politatine podcast. My name is Damian Galvin, and today I'm joined by a friend of the show, someone that we've had on previously, Larry Lawton. Larry, you want to take a second to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say about me. Just Google my name.
Yeah.
No, I now have, things have changed a lot. I've got my own cigar brand. I still do YouTube. We started podcasts for top 1%. In the world, out of 3 million podcasts.
That's awesome.
What else are we doing? Man, there's so much we're doing. I just did a TV show. I just came back from LA. You probably saw some of those posts.
Yes.
I did a naked podcast. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that on your Instagram. That was something else. You want to talk about that for a second? How was that? How do you even get into that?
You can talk about anything. So I decided to do, you know, we're doing well, and we had our 200th episode. So I decided to do something different, and I've never heard of anybody do a podcast naked.
Uh-huh.
Now you think podcast naked. Well, obviously people are listening mostly, and we have a big following on Spotify, iTunes, all that. And
yes.
But just to think of the imagination of somebody like driving in their car saying, "Are you really, what you're talking about?" We talked about nudity, being comfortable, and
yeah.
And you could actually see the podcast. We just really gonna start doing our YouTube. Obviously, I was slammed by all the parenting, you know.
Sure.
To take down, to not monetize, to do everything in the world that we want to. And I don't see, here's my problem. I don't get it because I don't see what's wrong with it.
Of course.
Especially when you're talking about, come here, Morty. Especially when you're talking about just nudity. I mean, we weren't talking about sex or something like that. We were talking about nudity and laughing and sex. You know, talk about sex, addictions, or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I think every male has.
Of course. No, of course.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously. But it's not like, you know, you take your clothes off and all of a sudden, bing, everybody got an erection.
Yeah, of
now,
course.
I ended up having, I went and did the podcast in a swingers place, which I
know.
It was in the dungeon room.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. You know, Nick, who is my producer and, you know, co-host of the podcast.
Yes.
I gave him an option beforehand. I said, Nick, you know, you don't have to do this. If you don't want to do this, but everybody in the room had to be naked. That was the deal.
Yeah.
I don't want one person not being naked, everybody feeling comfortable. He's not naked, should be naked. So anybody even wanted to watch or do something had to be naked. And I got the two women, both 30, the manager, general manager of the place, who was, he's about 40-something, and myself, and then Nick. And I asked Nick for a month beforehand. It became a big thing on you know, all the platforms.
Cause yes,
he goes,
yes.
I don't know. I said, well, I need to know. You can't tell me I don't know and then beforehand say, I don't want to do it. No, I got to get my producer ready. Got to get
course.
The board run. So, and, you know, he wasn't uncomfortable either. He ended up doing it. And listen, he's 26. He's young, like your guy's age. How old are you?
I just actually turned 19, Larry, believe it or not.
19? You look a little
19.
Okay.
So this is what we were talking
You're
about
legal.
Before
the
show. Yes. Oh, yeah. 100%. This is what we were talking about before the show. Last time me and you talked, I was a junior in high school, and we had an amazing conversation. And I remember it, and I reminisce on it, and I think about it all the time. And it was very cool because I remembered I had gotten into watching your book series. You did this series a couple years ago where you would read your book, and I remember
one
I was
of the
just,
most watched series on YouTube. One
yes.
of the most watched. Playlist that year on all of YouTube.
Yeah, no, and I was one of those. I was one of those viewers, and I was so, you know, so mesmerized by the story. And you did a very good job, you know, with the book, the way that you were narrating it as well, breaking it down. And I was like, man, I'm doing this political show now, and it would be so awesome to just to have this guy on and have him talk about his experience. And obviously, in the years following. You know, your release, you got into activism, you got into various different things, you know, police reform, you've talked about drug reform. I was actually in preparation for this podcast. I went and revisited a video that I had seen a few months ago about you talking about the war on drugs. But now so much has changed. Now I'm a sophomore here at George Washington University.
I'm
yes, I appreciate it. And I was like, yeah, we got to start this thing back up. So you were asking me earlier what exactly we're doing here. So
Ox is politatine.
Yes.
That's a very either, you know, I'll tell you to be honest, it's a name that has to be changed when, if you're doing it, because
yep.
Listen, I don't want to come and talk about a sex show or shit we're doing and crazy crap
to a
teen show.
Of course.
Don't get me wrong. Teens do whatever. Yeah.
Welcome to college, Larry.
Oh, man, I need to be there. But
yeah.
And don't get me wrong. You know, like, as I always say, I'm open. I'm very to everything. I'm not a prude by any stretch of anybody's imagination. Sure.
Yeah,
and I don't judge anybody. And
of course,
and you know, and I've been in politics. I'm looking at my wall, and I have a picture. I marched for President Reagan in 1980. That's how old I am. Marched for him in his inauguration parade.
Yeah.
And you know, I looked at him. I was a young Republican, and now I am a young nothing because I don't. All the parties suck.
Yep.
And I can get into that. I'm more of a libertarian. And
yes.
Reagan's presidency really started the war on drugs, and he was terrible about it.
Yep, I have a quote that you said in that video about it. You here, I'll pull it up right now. You said,
"Oh yeah, I'd love to hear it."
Yeah, you said, "Quote: The war on drugs is the biggest waste of money the United States has ever seen. Waste of time, waste of effort, effort, everything." And you said that you blame President Reagan for the war on drugs.
I do, and. A lot of people do now, looking back in hindsight, obviously. Even then, I questioned it because, listen, young people, I had two doctors on my show, two doctors, renowned. One's a surgeon, one's a blood doctor, very renowned. And they both say, I think all drugs should be legal. All drugs. Fentanyl should
yes.
be legal.
Yes.
And people go, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a choice. If you want to go do something, you can go to Home Depot and get rat poison, sniff paint, sniff thinners, do all the crap young people, lean, all the shit that everything goes around.
Yeah.
And listen, I've done all the drugs, you know. I'm pro-drug because I'm pro-responsibility, too.
Of course.
Listen, whatever you do, do it responsibly. If you do that, what I do in this house is my business, and what you do in your dorm room is your business.
Of course.
As long as you're not hurting an underage person, obviously, or...
Yeah.
Raping somebody. Listen, if you're doing something against somebody else, I get it.
Yep.
But what you do in your own house, sexually or drug-wise, that's your own business.
Yeah.
And long as you're not hurting anybody.
Of course.
You know, more people, that's the problem. I don't know what your show base is now. I didn't have to. I was out all day. I just walked in. And, you know, I wanted to do it because I was thinking about that show. And I go, it's a teen show. And you still didn't give me the idea of what it's going. And I loved you guys because I said, these two kids are, there were two of you.
It was two of us. So that goes into exactly what we're doing now. So it was two of us. We got caught up with life. This transition to college is so different. And, you know, going to the conversation that we were having earlier, you're exposed to so many different things. And so we decided to, you know, to focus on getting into universities. Thankfully here, I'm at George Washington. I got in. They helped me with the financial aid and everything. So I focused, we slowed down with the show, but, you know, being in DC these past now, you know, year plus, I was like, man, I got to bring this back. And it wasn't just this. So what the Politatine podcast is now a part of is a larger network called the Ox Institute that I'm also running. And the Ox Institute has a podcast that's exactly what you're talking about. We have drug dealers on, we have artists on, we have a bunch of people that it's more culture based as opposed to politics. And the idea with the Ox Institute is that it's going to incorporate a bunch of different individuals that are all sharing perspectives that kind of correspond with the same idea, this idea of, like, you know, decriminalization, this idea of more lax laws, this idea of helping people rehabilitate, getting people out of poverty. The general message and the general consensus is affecting culture through commentary. And it's something that is super prevalent, especially as it comes to our generation, right? We don't watch CNN. We don't watch Fox News. We're on TikTok. We're on Twitter.
Oh, you sound like Nick. He don't even have to work a remote control.
Yeah, I don't. We don't have cable here in the dorm. You know, we're watching other things. And so there's so many young content creators right now that are honestly, it's a little bit disheartening because they're working against each other. They think that it's a zero-sum game and that, you know, if I have a certain amount of viewers, that means that you're taking viewers away from me. And the idea is to get these people working together, to get, you know... No. Go ahead.
You're going to like that because what you said is so true. And this is why I probably said it in that last show. The bigger I get, the more reach I get, the more I actually like to go on shows that don't have the reach or don't have the followings or the big, you know. They always say, I remember saying, oh, you always got to go on somebody's bigger show. And it's, well, if that's the case, how does somebody who's starting out, you know, go, you know, get to that place? They have to have that other guy who's high up, give them shots, bring their audience to them, bring the things. And I always said this, the reason I like YouTube, I'm a little pissed at them at this moment because they're just getting too sensory, you know, I mean, in my mind. Sure. And I'm opening OnlyFans, so that's going to get wild.
There you go, Larry. I've seen you advertise it on Twitter and everything. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't advertise, but I'm just thinking about it because I can really put some risque shit. But it's not just that. I always said that there's enough room, and I liked YouTube in the beginning because there were some creators that gave me opportunity to get on their shows and stuff like that. Yes, I have a story, but sometimes the story is the person who doesn't have the story and his ambition and his, you know, not everybody has to go to prison for 12 years and be tortured. Mm. You know, not everybody has to rob $18 million and have a story. Yes, that's what I did, and that's what opened a lot of doors, but I still wouldn't do it. I wish I would have did it. But I think there's enough room. Listen, there's 7 billion people on this planet, and about 4 billion have YouTube, or some crazy number.
Yeah.
You know, it's like crazy number.
Yeah.
And if you think like that, you can say, there's enough room for everybody, man.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know, and it's a matter, like always, content is king. Whoever has good content, whoever has the great ideas, can get a voice to do whatever they're going to do.
Yep.
I won't change. I got mad on the platforms the other day. When I did my naked podcast, and I just came back from L.A., and I was at a wild OnlyFans party.
I saw on the Twitter. You were on the poll, Larry.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't let go. Yeah. They kept saying to me, let go now. I'm 245 pounds. You think I'm going to let go? I'm going to fall like a rock. But they have a ball with me because I love young people. And they love hanging out with me because I have the energy. And I love them. I respect them. Girls, guys, I really do, and I think your opinions matter. Too many old people like, oh, it's my way or the highway. Well, it's not. You know what I mean? That's the rule. You young guys have a lot more ideas sometimes. You know, I think that you guys need guidance. You don't have experience.
Of course.
I tell Nick all the time, you know some things, and you don't know other things. So you just got to understand that as a person. But looking back, I said I got a lot of kickback on social media and everybody for doing all this. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I am going to do what I always do, and that's be who I am. You know, I could still, people go, how could you say to people make good choices when you're doing this? What does that have to do with anything? I don't give a shit if you're sitting there naked. I don't give a shit what you do in your own time. I don't care. If you don't hurt other people, and if I don't want to watch it, I'll turn the channel. Or if you know, click the clicker. If I want to watch it, I'll watch it.
Yep.
You know, I don't want people. See, people kept saying, oh, you're not being moral. Now you're telling me what my morals are.
Mm.
You don't know what my morals are.
Sure.
I never claimed to be some purist, and I'm not religious to begin with. So don't come off to me saying, like, you know, oh, because now God's not going to. I went into a whole diatribe of how fucked up that damn thing is already because if God, I don't know if you heard it. If Nick and I were just talking about it because he really is into the two. Listen, if you're fucking around doing your thing, doing it, God doesn't like you, it sends you to hell. Well, since God, hell is the person that doesn't like God, why is he going to punish you? You're going to have a good time down there.
Yeah,
that
makes
zero sense.
There's a lot of contradictions here.
I mean, shit, send me to the place that I'm doing the shit I am if that's what they do down there.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't believe it down there, up there anyway. Again, like I said, I think it's all the biggest. Listen, how would you like to be the biggest industry in the world? In the world. that doesn't sell a product.
Yep.
You don't sell salvation that you can't friggin' show one success rate.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just, it's the biggest marketing campaign in the world.
Yeah. And most successful marketing campaign, though, at it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, you know, listen, if you really think about it, brands have done it for their whole lives.
Yeah.
You are working on people's fears. You are working on people, what they need, instead of what is necessary. Not one proof of actual salvation. Nobody came back and said, you know, it's really nice there. Don't go to the other place. Nobody's ever said that. I mean, how do you show a result to a person?
Yeah.
Because you got the best con game in the world, getting them in. How's this? The guy's the most powerful person on the planet, but he needs your money.
Yep. Yeah.
I think of that.
Yeah.
You know, this guy invented everything, started the universe, but he needs your money.
Yeah, he needs your money. He needs your money. Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. But go ahead.
Okay. Just to end it on that part. The older I get,
yes.
You know, the more, listen, I've been around, so I've seen it, I've understand more a little bit. And I love trying to explain things to young people. And listen, if a person has faith, good for them. I don't care what your faith is. Mm-hmm. If that's what it takes for you to get up and do your thing and stay away from good, whatever it takes. If you want to pray to a pumpkin patch that's out there and it makes you be a better person, have at it. Who do I give a shit?
Yeah.
But don't try to profess and make everybody out who didn't pray to that pumpkin patch that you're going to hell, or you're a bad person. Because now you're just defeating what even positive there is in the Bible. The Bible's a great book. Don't get me wrong. But if you read the Bible like I did, five times, cover to cover, page to page, there's a book. There's more killings. There's more death. God killed every baby unless there was blood over the door.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. No.
So
it's one of these interesting stories. And again, it goes back to the conversation that you were having a little bit earlier as it relates to, you know, not being exposed to things that you don't like. If you don't like something, but it's not bringing you any direct harm and it's not bringing anyone else any direct harm, it's very simple to just look away. And I was, you know, again, I was looking at your takes on cancel culture, and I really, really, really like your perspective on it, because I think it's something, especially that the older generation has kind of fallen victim to this idea of cancel culture. It's not a real thing. It's made up in your mind. It's only as real as, it's kind of like, you know, these cryptocurrencies and NFTs and whatnot. It's only as much as you believe in it. If you don't believe in it, it's not real. And you know, you have a very interesting perspective as it comes, especially to the trans issues as well, to trans issues, because, you know, I enjoyed listening to the take essentially being that, hey, if it's not hurting anyone, there's obvious things that you can be against. You know, I think you mentioned like not wanting, you know, to share restrooms, this, that, the other, not having them in locker rooms, not having them in sports. But that's neither here nor there. That's a conversation to have at another day and another point, because you have states like Kentucky and Kansas who are passing trans legislation when, Larry, they have zero trans athletes in their schools. They're banning trans athletes from competing when the last trans athlete that they had was 3 years prior and she placed 10th in swimming. She wasn't even good at it. She wasn't even good at it. And so, well, yeah.
You know, with the trans, I have trans friends.
Yep.
And I discuss it with them, whether we agree or disagree, because we do disagree on some things. But, I mean, listen, for genetics, you're born a male, you're going to have different genes, physical genes, than a female, period. That's the Y and the X chromosome. That's science that, you know, we're not talking about what you do, what you wear, how you want to, who you want to be. Have fun, please have fun. I love hanging out with trans and stuff like that, because we have great conversations. They're fun people, just like gay people. Or listen, I'm so inclusive in everything. Because someone says, "Well, then you're acceptance of everybody. What are you?" I said, "You want to know the truth? I don't know what I am."
Yeah.
They go, "What do you mean?" I don't know. I am a people lover. I don't know what I love. And you know, they look at me. Yes, I was married twice. Yes, I have great relationships with my ex-wife. Yes, all of them, we were open. We didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to lie or whatever, anything in that life. I know, everybody has their, I call it their crosses to, you know, to bear, and their crutches or their demons or their black, I even hate calling them, dark siders, because it's not. Yeah. Once we start judging on one thing, you got to be careful of that. Because once you judge me for whatever it is, and I'm not talking about murdering somebody, I'm not talking about causing physical harm to another person, I'm not talking something like that. When you start judging me on the way I live, and it has nothing to do with you, then that's a very slippery slope to now you're judging the next person, now you're judging this person. And that's where religious comes in and it becomes wrong. I won't do it. And you know, the cancel culture's got me pissed. That's what got me pissed about the other day, how people are now judging me. And then I have to catch myself. With a big platform, you're going to have crazies everywhere, you know, and mm-hmm. So you have to understand that. But I'm not going to let myself get jaded and say, oh, I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm not going to go on any shows because they're going to miss. I don't give a fuck. What you do with me, you respected me the first time. I love to see young people keep going. I hope they don't quit, because most people fail when they're almost there. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And you've got, listen, college isn't the save all either. You look at all your top billionaires, they all quit college.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the knowledge and the connections and whatever base they have. And then I'm not saying to quit, of course, obviously. Yeah. There are, obviously, if you had that opportunity that something happened and when you could, I got educated. I have a college degree and I got that in prison when I was 40 years old. Mm. So you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And it didn't make me any smarter or you know, more successful because I went to college. Yeah. It made me good for law. But what I get at is I love to see people go. And that's why I just told you, I'm glad you told me what you're doing with the, what are you calling it, the Ox?
The Ox Institute.
What is the name Ox? A college kid tells me, I think of Oxford.
Nice. Okay, so let me explain the name Ox, right? So the idea behind the movement that we're trying to create here is it's very working class oriented. And the ox is an animal that has always historically represented the working class American. And we believe that there's policies that need to be implemented, whether that be drug reform, whether that be the next thing that I want to kind of jump into with you, prison reform. There's various issues here that benefit the American people that aren't, you know, that we're focusing on, you know, these billionaires that we were just talking about. We're benefiting these 1%. We're giving them tax breaks. We're doing all this. We're spending so much on our military to go interact with other countries that don't have anything to do with our domestic issues. And not only are we interacting with them, we're actively making their situation worse. So the idea behind the Ox Institute is, again, the ox represents strength. It represents labor. And it represents unity between our content creators. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring unity between these content creators so that X person comes on and Y person has them, you know, on their show, and they're bridging audiences and they're sharing ideas. And then, you know, if we have guests that we've had on the show previously, like we've had Simon Anhalt, who's a policy advisor, we tell someone else that's part of our network, hey, do you want to have Simon on the show? He's a great guest. Your audience would love him. You can have a conversation about him, offer them content, and just sharing these ideas. It's obviously a little bit more intricate, and we have a business plan and everything. And
I'm just going to ask you, you're smart. You should have a business plan, because there are up and coming creators who need that. I was just on a WhatsApp group with Sean Michael Kelly. Do you know who he is?
No, I'm not familiar.
Sean Mike Kelly, he built an Instagram following to what, 10 million or 20 million? I don't know what it was, 20 million. And I was in Vegas and I went on his show. He wanted me on. And now he put together a group of all people that were like business people and guests he had to network. And now you can help each other. And a couple of them, you know, they found out who I was, so they want to come on the show, so I will. And so it was like that. But I thought about what you're saying. There was one guy say, hey, I'm just starting a podcast. I know it's early. And can you give me a little advice? You know, so obviously I did. But that's some little business plan. Think about, I'm a businessman first.
Yeah.
There's a business in there for you guys, because I liked what you said. You have guys like myself come on, and then other guys, and you say, and not just me. I mean, then, hey, Larry, there's a guy that talked about whatever, transgender or this. He's a great guest. obviously, I think you can really break it down to be regional, and not only regional, because then you can have live guests in the studio.
That's yep. That's the idea. Better. Yeah. Once the funding starts coming in, that's the idea. We're going to have these people come in, and what we really want to do is just have live programs on all day on Twitch, on YouTube, on TikTok, where it's just live all day. It's live, you know, content being created 24/7. We have people come on. We have essentially doing the exact same thing that mass media does on television. That's now.
I was just gonna say, you want to be CNN?
Yeah.
With content creators. A couple of things to think about. I think if you broke that up and maybe put an educational class from 1 to 3 or 2, you know, in the mornings, different times. Because to create, you
Larry, you should look at the business plan. You should look at the business plan, Larry. You're right up all these are all ideas that we have.
I'm a businessman first. I own a lot of businesses. So as I tell people, first thing I want to see is your business plan. Mm. We don't have no. It's an evolving document. The business plan is an evolve. I did my business plan with the master's professor who teaches the MBA Master's Business School up in FIT right here.
Yeah.
He's a friend of mine, and we did my business plan for 6 months. He goes, Larry, you could be a professor now, you know, with business understanding and yeah. everything I do. But I love to see young people do it. The only reason, listen, we're not always right often. I say that too. You know, a lot of times business people come, and I deal with elders my age. I'll be 62 next week or 2 weeks.
There you go. Happy early birthday.
Yeah, thank you. And I look at young guys my age, friends, and I have friends that are, forget it, worth zillions of dollars. And I say that because I look at them and I say, you wouldn't make it today. Because not everything is a meeting after meeting after meeting. We are living in a fast-paced creator's world where you either do it, try it, doesn't work, fuck it. If I hear kids tell, I often ask young people like yourself, I say, okay, you got something going. When is it launching? I don't know yet. Red flag. Just fucking launch it, try it, evolve with it.
Yep.
Because if you have too many meetings, somebody's going to pass your ass by and now you lose it.
Yep.
All of the biggest people in the world, yeah, you get some blacks and blues and you lose stuff. But it's not, listen, no investor gives a shit if you lost. None. They like it. That means Nick gets mad at me. I told him the other day, I said, you know how you want to know a young person? Here's what you do. Take him to a lunch. If he can't make a decision on what to eat, hold on, can you come back? He's going to be dangerous because he can't make a decision on what to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you going to make a decision when you got to fire somebody? Are you going to make a decision when it's a this road or that road? Got to make it.
Yep.
You got to make that decision, and you got to launch. I launch, and I've made a lot of mistakes in life. But you learn from them,
yes.
You know. And I still make mistakes, but young guys like you, that's why I like what you're doing. You bring it back. Political teen name, of course, because teen it scares guys like me. I don't want to be talking and being talking about making podcasts of teens.
Yeah.
Now you're 18, 19. Yeah. You're legal. I don't give a fuck about it.
Yeah,
I'd be here naked if that was a podcast.
There you go. Maybe next time, Larry, we got to do that. You got to join us on Ox. That's our culture podcast. We're having this really cool guy on that there's a I don't know if you know the loopholes that work here in DC, but you can
listen. I have some connections in DC. Congressman Bill Posey. Actually, I'm the only ex-con recognized on the floor.
I saw that. Yeah, I was watching that video on your YouTube channel.
And I went there, and I was meeting. I met so many congressmen, and I'm walking by CEOs, you know, waiting in the waiting room, and I'm going in, and they're bringing me in their office. Oh, Larry, I have chiefs of staff on a few heavy hitters. You know, the chief of staff, that's who runs the shit. And they're friends of mine. I go to lunch. If you ever want a really tour of the White House, I mean of Congress, I'll get you one from private, from the head assistant chief of staff and the head of media for Bill Posey. He's my guy over in my area. And they'll take two guys, and you'll be up where nobody goes. He shows you a room where, you know, was killed. It's Washington, Jefferson, and John Adams. Adams.
There you go.
Jefferson's 3. Adams, second president. His the he was also the second, and his son was the 6th. son or John Adams, where he killed himself in Congress, where he died. Yes. He was the president, and then he became the Speaker of the House.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, boy, I'm losing it. But I'm like my mom. No. But anyway, I'm saying he'll take you a tour if you ever need that. But anyway, I was into politics at your age very much. Like I said, I was on the younger, but I've been there. I understand policy. I understand how it works. I like it, but I ended up going the other way. I ended up, like you know this, corrupting them. I mean, literally, as a gangster, corrupting them. And I talk about how I owned a mayor, then I made the city a strong mayor city, so I had the cons. You know, it's just, that's the way life is.
Yeah.
And, you know, as wrong as it is, it's the truth. So it's hard for me to not say it. And as one more, and I'll let you continue another question, whatever you want. Because I'm not worried about time now. I can move this fucker. It's up to you. As far as cancer culture.
Yes.
It does piss me off. Because if you know my heart, if you know who I am, I can say any word in the world. If you know what it is, I'm not prejudiced. There's zero prejudice in me. Zero.
Sure. Yeah.
There is zero hate. There is zero. It took me years, but there's zero hate for people. I don't even hate the people that tortured me. So when you think of that, that doesn't mean I like them either. But or forgive them. It's just that means I'm not going to let them control my life anymore with that emotion. That
comes. Of course.
The point to you is, you're right. People my age have said, you know, Nick said a great word, and I learned a lot from Nick and the young people. The only one who can cancel you, Larry, is you.
You know, yeah,
you're not gonna not follow me if somebody said don't follow me.
Yep,
you don't give a fuck.
Yep,
you're gonna make your own choice. Most of my fans and most of my followers are very loyal. You know, you get the ones that think, you know, oh, I'm not. They get the fuck out. What do you want me to fucking do? Come to your house and fucking do a podcast for you?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah, no, and going into this conversation, there's two ways that you can get canceled, Larry, in life. You cancel yourself. Or you go to prison, and that's the only other way you can actually get canceled. And it's something that you've been an advocate about. Obviously, you know, you did your time, you came out, you've done you know, conversations, you've been featured in various publications on your commentary on prison reform. And again, it's one thing to have these guys be talking about what they think is best for the prisoners and this, that, and the other, but never actually having, you know, having lived the experience of what it takes to have to survive the torturous institutions that we have here in the United States. We have 4% of the world's population, 25% of the world's prison population. We have a 70% recidivism rate. 70%. Within
depending on what state, what you're right. You're close. Your numbers are good enough for me to respect them.
Yeah, they appreciate it. But again, and it's even these numbers being close. 50% is too much. 40% is too much. When we're talking about criminal justice, unfortunately, you know, over the past, you know, decades that the United States has really started pumping the prison industrial complex since the Nixon administration, essentially, we've seen a lot of harm be done to all communities, but especially low-income communities. And that's the reality of the matter. And I guess my question more broadly is, what is there that can be done?
Well, you know, I've studied this topic so much, and there are so many things. First of all, let's get this straight. We have too many books on the laws as it is. I don't want no laws to pass. We still have laws on the books that you can't get a blowjob or you can't fuck in the ass or whatever it is. That's bullshit. Stop. We have so many laws that are so either outdated, whacked out laws that are, we don't need laws. We don't need laws. We need to follow common sense. That's number one. We need the law of common sense to be the mother of all laws, because I could sit and there's not one person who's ever came on who wants to be tough on crime or wants to be tough on stuff can answer just a couple of questions I give them. And if they could, I would change, because I always say one of my strengths would be you could change my mind. If you have something good, and you debate me and you got something right, I will listen and change. I just hope you give me that same respect and not be as hard-headed. That goes for anybody. Now, with that said, prisons. Well, your numbers speak for themselves. I'm not going to go over that. You said them right. Not only prisons have to be changed. The whole criminal justice system has to be. Here's why.
Yeah.
I was just dealing with a friend who's a habitual traffic, no title, no license to drive, no registration. Well, after so many times, I think he's got over $100,000 in fines and court costs and shit.
Wow.
Will he ever pay that? Not a chance. What happens? You either get arrest him, put him in jail again, clog up the system. Now, mind you, nonviolent, not one piece of violence in his record.
Yeah.
Now, is he a moron? Yes. Then people are going to say, well, what happens if you get hit and insurance and stuff? There's ways to fix that. There's money to fix that. There's ways to fix that where everybody's covered, if you want to call it that. Obviously, I tell them, get a motorcycle and don't even license it. If you buy a cash, you ain't getting stopped. None of you kids will get stopped on a motorcycle. If you have a bike, you ain't getting stopped. You know how to get away.
Yep, exactly.
You have friends that do that all the time.
Oh, I had a buddy one time. He comes home with a new, he had a C8, It was a CC800 or some bike that he had just bought. And he's showing it to us, and we're, you know, he's revving it in the garage. It's loud. The whole neighborhood can hear. We heard him come in 3 minutes as he was pulling into the neighborhood, and then he leaves. And I get all these texts later in the night. Hey, they followed him home. He escaped. He was going 120, 140, and he got away from them. They followed him to his house. Long story short, my buddy, he tried to get away, but he made some mistakes on some wrong turns, and let's just say he ended up spending the night in
jail. He's a moron. Yeah. I know many people will never get caught.
Well, he had ever. He had it until that point. He had been pretty good
Why
at getting
did he
away.
Go home? Come on. He's just not smart at the end.
Yep.
Jesus. All you have to do is wear a helmet. If you have no plate on that thing, what are you going to do?
Yep. Just don't go home, which was his mistake. His mistake. Yep.
If you don't know your neighborhood, you're an idiot to begin with. But I can get into that. We're just talking about running. For real, on that case, this guy with the license, what are you going to do now? Put him in jail? Okay, put him in jail. What a waste. It costs approximately $28,000 to $30,000 a year to house one inmate.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to waste $30,000 a year to house a guy who didn't have a driver's license? Come on. Now, what happens? I'll give you even a better scenario. You, how old are you? 19.
19, right? Yes, sir.
Happened to a 19-year-old. This exact case I'm going to tell you about. I was with him. Smart. Accepted to the Air Force Academy, big time brains, all that. Party with his friends, they decide to rob a bank.
Oh, that's a decision to make, isn't it?
Wait a minute. I mean, with a note, you know, not even in a threatening note. But kids are high, all of this. He didn't come from money either. You know, this kid's a smart kid, but he got money. Sure enough, nothing happens. He says he does it again because he needed money for something.
Sure.
And we're not talking about guys who are getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're talking about $10,000.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
He does it again. He has a gun in his waistband. Doesn't even brandish it, they call it. Doesn't pull it out. Same thing with a note. He gets caught. They gave him 27 years in prison.
Ridiculous.
Mind you, here's what happens. Now you take that kid. He gets out of prison after 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? He has to pay a fine back, and he has to pay that money, the $10,000.
Yes.
What does that do? What does that do?
Yeah.
He's not going to pay it back. He can't get a job to begin with, but he gets a job. He's going to pay that fine, or is he going to work off the books?
Of course.
And if he can't work off the books, he's going to try to do every way he can to not pay, because you don't have enough money to live to begin with.
Yep.
So now you're forcing this kid to either make bad or illegal decisions just to live.
Yeah.
Now take it better. Here's a kid does the same thing, and they only give him 5 years. He has to pay back $10,000. He just goes to prison. Now, most of the prison system. He can't make a phone call when he wants. It's very difficult to get people to visit because of the harassment even families and people go through. They move you around the country if you're in the feds or even in the state. You're not going to be close enough for people to visit you. So now let's say he robs a bank for he's a drug user. He has drugs. He did it because he's an addict. Can't help himself. He needs money or drugs. So he goes to prison. They don't, mind you, they don't give him no drug rehabs, nothing. He goes to prison. What do you think is going to happen? Going to do drugs in prison because there's more drugs in prison or on the street. I say that obviously it's easy to get. I could get heroin, cocaine, meth at the 3 cells away, 5 cells away. In the neighborhood, you might have to drive 2 miles. So my point is there's drugs everywhere.
Yeah.
So he never fixed his addiction. So what does he do? He does drugs. When he does drugs in prison, he either gets in debt in prison now, could get stabbed, could get killed, or he might have to do something to somebody else, and then he gets another charge, gets more time put on. Or let's just say none of that happens. But he does his 5 years, he gets out, still has a drug problem.
Mm.
Still has a drug problem. He knows how now to survive prison. He knows how to do that, so that's not a deterrent. Oh, you don't think he's going to rob somebody? You don't think he's going to do something to get drug money, to get whatever? And let's say he goes to prison, he comes out with HIV or hepatitis or whatever thing. Now he's going to be a cost to society on the medical end of it. Still wasn't educated, still wasn't fixed with an addiction, and we're putting him back in the street. Mm. Here's your recidivism rate.
Yep.
Proof. Now, and he's got a $10,000 fine, so every time he even gets a job, tries to make it, and they're trying to take money from him, now he's going, what the fuck are they trying to do to me? I can't even get... Now, you know that big business, like you said, the billionaires, already wrote that money off. Wrote off.
Yep.
Insurance was paid. It was wrote off. They got it on EBITDA. They got it on the back end of stuff. It doesn't matter. It was wrote off taxes and eaten. It's part of business or whatever it is. But they still he has to still pay this money to this big corporation.
Mm.
Right? Now, there isn't a chance that guy's got about a 5% chance of making it.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, get 70% at that point.
Yeah.
Did nothing to help. So now, two things could be done. The prison itself is way whacked. First of all, I could fix the violence in prison. I could fix the corruption in prisons for no money. No money. I proved it, and I showed them on paper, but I don't think they want to. I really think you have to want to fix the problem.
Of course.
I could put... They have... Most prisons, here's another thing, private prisons are a big problem with the
prisons. That's what I was going to get into next. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and then even private health care. All the health care in prisons is outsourced.
Mm.
Armor Health, I think the number of them, they get the contracts for this, and they will keep pushing off a person until they get out.
Yeah.
Instead of fixing the problem because they don't want to spend the money, and then the society has to pay the money, Medicare and everybody else.
Yep.
So... That's a problem. But you could have those medical companies who have big contracts fund the program I have to stop corruption. It got so bad in some county jails that I know. When I get cops, I call them cops, guards, we used to call them cops. Uh-huh. They will call me and tell me about the corruption going on in places. And they have it so bad, they change filters out. And they have the name and date on a filter. So when an inspection comes through, it's called the ACA, which is all bullshit. It's all bullshit. It's another bullcrap thing. And what they do is they'll put the new filters in just for the inspection. And when they come out, they put them back in storage. So they're letting people breathe and all the shit, the crap, because they don't care, really.
Yeah.
When inspection comes, so it looks like, oh, look, we're doing really good things.
Yeah.
It was amazing how they paint the sidewalks, do the lines, give you the best food, hide the inmates who are very, like me, out with the speak. I went to the hole for 3 years, you know that.
Yeah.
So all the things that happened, they figured out around. I could set up a system with a few ex-cons, few prior guards, civilians, accountants, and I could go in and clean out the prison system in any state in about 6 months to a year. Stop the corruption, stop the theft, and really rehabilitate people. We do have a problem with mental health in prisons. That's number one. Obviously, they're using prisons as mental health facilities, which some of them I've seen crazies that are really sad. And getting back to the criminal justice system itself, you know, cops are the first first barrier in the first part of the problem. Because here's why. If a cop stops you right now and arrests you for having, pot's legal there, probably.
Pot's legal here. Yeah, pot's legal in D.C. Right. Yeah.
Okay, let's say you are in your car and you have a gram of cocaine.
Yeah.
Big deal. Cop stops you, arrests you for the gram of cocaine, and you fucking go through the system. You get nothing because it's a throw-out crime now, really, and it's nothing. That being on your record hurts you for the rest of your life.
Of course.
Now, you weren't convicted. You weren't convicted. They threw it out. Whether a cop planted it or not or whatever it is, it's thrown out. But I Google your name and I look you up. It's going to have an arrest for possession of cocaine and disposition dismissed. They don't know if you ratted. They don't know if you had a better lawyer than the next guy.
Yeah.
This is an employer.
Yeah.
Now, if I got you and Nick, and when you have that record and he doesn't, I mean, obviously I'm going to pick the kid without the record. Well, me might be different. I might pick the kid with the record.
Yeah.
But my point is the police themselves have to be trained not to be so, you know, when I grew up, there was a difference. Obviously, supposed to go to cameras, and I'm a big believer in cameras, obviously. But I think there has to be leeway in what they do to somebody or with the record system in place. Meaning, listen, when I was a kid, man, they used to stop us for DUI. We're fucked up. I remember them driving me home, giving the keys to my mother and saying, Miss Lord, if I see him out, I'm putting him in jail.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I got a beating at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I figured that worse. But my point is, there was no record from that.
Of course, yeah.
You know, we have to fix the criminal justice system because our courts are broke. And it's very slighted against minorities. It's very slighted against people of less means, whether it's even white, black, Hispanic, Asian.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. It's poverty. And that's the root of the issue. And we've known this since Greco-Roman times. We've known this
absolutely
for thousands of years, that if you want to stop crime, you stop poverty. And unfortunately, it's not in the interest of these people that we keep bringing up, the billionaires and the Congress people. Because if you don't have issues, you don't have anything to campaign on. And if you don't have anything to campaign on, you don't get elected. And if you don't have people that are willing to do whatever.
Stop it right there. If you don't have money, you don't get elected.
Yeah. Yep.
Forget all what you just said, because I proved that. Yeah. I had money and I bought politicians.
Yep. Yep.
So, and I bought elections.
Yeah.
And that was only as far back as 40 years ago. 1988 was the first time I did that.
There you
almost
go.
Almost 40 years. And because I had the power, I had the influence, and I put people in office that I want. And then I had the city in my pocket, and we hired the chief of police that I wanted. We got the contracts for the lawn service, electrical building, anything that I wanted, all in the guise of being legit.
There you go.
So I hate to be so jaded with the system, and I don't want you as a young guy to think, oh, fuck, Larry's right. Why should I get involved? No, get involved.
Yeah.
But the way you get involved, and I believe this, is having more voices.
That's the goal. We understand that.
Because,
yeah.
Listen, I believe everybody, I'm talking just about everybody, is socially liberal.
Mm.
Nobody gives a fuck who you fuck.
Yeah.
I have friends that are strong Republican, strong Democrat, middle of the road. Not one person gives a fuck if you are gay, straight, bi, pan, I don't know, whatever names they have. They don't give a fuck what music is. They don't care. What drug you do? You want to do fucking heroin out your ass, up in the arm, in your house? Don't hurt anybody. They don't care.
Yeah.
They're socially liberal, but they are fiscally responsible and conservative. I say the only conservative word, I don't like it, is because they all want to help people who are poor. They all want to help people who are. Listen, there's no lady in this world who had a bad marriage, bad whatever, didn't work, should ever have to eat cat food or not have medicine in our system. Everybody has a heart, and everybody I know does. But they also don't want to give money to a woman who keeps having babies just to get more money from the system.
Yeah.
Or they don't want to give money to a lazy person who wants to take a check instead of just, you know, going to try to get a job and building up. So my answers even to that are, yes, give them money. If he's able-bodied, give him money until he gets on his feet, but make him work for that money.
Agreed.
Not around getting a job, and I don't care if it's just coming into an office and painting these abandoned buildings for an hour or 2 hours a night to get that check. And if you don't show up, you don't get that check.
Yeah, yeah.
Give them a reason to go push, to go get more jobs. Don't just let them sit home and eat, you know, have popcorn and beer and watch NFL football with and a free government phone.
Unless they're in college, Larry. It's okay if they're in college.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you're in college, obviously.
Beer and football sounds really good, Larry.
Wait a minute. I'm in it now. Wait, and naked. But
Yep.
But what they need to do is just hold people more accountable on what we give.
Mm.
And that's not being Democratic or Republican. That's just being human. Why should I work my balls off just to give you? Now, listen, even college. I have my things. I believe everyone should be able to have a good education. But I don't believe you should sit there and take a fucking art class that you know you're never going to make a fucking nickel from. And you're getting money from the government just to go to college and work off.
Sure. But I mean, even then, to that, you know, you're talking about these individuals that, sure, they might be lazy. Sure, you know, they might be exploiting the system, but it's only a consequence of the system letting them down in the first place. And even these individuals that, you know, it might not be the best thing for them to be, you know, majoring in some, you know, if you want to call them, for lack of better term, silly majors. It's a lot better than them being on the streets, and it's a lot better than them pushing drugs. Yeah,
but when not really. But when I'll go against that.
Go for listen, it.
Drug dealers, criminals are very good for the economy. Don't think they're not.
I believe it.
What does a drug dealer do when he makes money? Gets a nice house, pays rent, or he gets a nice apartment. He puts gas in a car. He's always shopping for his kids. He's going on vacation. Well, you tell me a drug guy is not good for the economy?
Ah. There you go.
How about going out to eat every night? And he's going here, buying pizza parties and doing it. Or a criminal. I was a criminal. I was very good for the economy. I bought everything. I'm not saying that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
What I believe you're saying, and a part of me with you, what you said, is correct. But if you're smart enough, play the system like a kid going to college and bullshitting it and fucking playing, like you said, the silly major, knowing it means nothing because you know you have to work, but your dad's got money and I'm waiting fucking 3 more years. So I want to fuck more broads. Hey, more power to you. That's a smart guy.
Sure.
And he figured out how to do that. That shows me, again, you're smart. Listen, I'm never going to – listen, when somebody comes up with a plan or something that's – I always give the kudos. I said, wait a minute. Before we start judging this kid, let's see how smart this kid is. Because I might want to hire him and take him out of that shit.
Mm,
He might need to find what he needs to do. He might be not as mature as the next one. Listen, I almost don't like to see young people get so serious that they don't have a childhood. They don't have those fun years. Like you're 19. I hope you're partying it up. I hope you're fucking running around naked. We used to do streaking and shit. And don't ask me why it's always naked with me. I guess I have a fucking downbeat with naked. My point is we had a lot of fun.
You know?
And even I was in the military, though. It was different. We had fun in the military. Same thing, college atmosphere. You guys, you see somebody who's so book. You watch a lot of them have a lot of problems in life, suicides, deep depressions and stuff like that. Because what they're doing is they're really just trying to fight their own inner demons or inner whatever they are. Through being a studier and being everything. And, you know, listen, addiction doesn't have to be a drug. It doesn't have to be a gambling. It doesn't have to be eating. It doesn't have to be a sex. An addiction can be work. I have a work addiction. I'm a workaholic, and I know I have to catch myself. And that is why I go out and say, fuck it, and do what the fuck, you know. And listen, and people cannot like, oh, I don't do that. Listen, I'm over them. I got to live. And I always told you this, if you remember this. Love yourself, man. And it's not being conceited. It's not being negative. It's not being, oh, I'm me. You need to love yourself and love who you are, whatever that is. Because if you can't love yourself, nobody can. And not only that, if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love anyone else to give them the right stuff? You can't. You have to love yourself, and they have to enjoy it with you when you get the right people around you. But don't ever think, oh, I'm doing this for them. Do it for you. Fuck. Mm. It's not being greedy. It's not being selfish. It's the only way, because it's the only way to sustain something for long periods, and it's the only way to truly be happy and then give. I give a lot, because I love who I am. I'm happy. Yeah, I'm a fuck up, and I know it. I'm still a fuck up. But I like to give. Whether it's, I don't care if it's opening doors for people, helping people out. Nick tells stories of me helping people, you know, stuff like that. Or going to shows, helping people, little shows, big. I've been on shows with guys just starting. Why did you come on a show? Because he needed a fucking break. Do something nice for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and just remember that. The bigger you're, you know, you're smart. You're a smart young man. So as you build, remember that. And don't ever say, it's too small for us.
Yeah, yeah. And that, you know, that's I think, the perfect message to wrap up this conversation on. Again, thank you so much for joining us here. It's always a pleasure to have you on. And if you're in the DC, there's a whole nother section of this conversation that I had planned that honestly, it went so much better than I could have ever imagined. But hey, we got this other half on drug reform. If you're ever in the area.
We could go for hours. There's no question I can.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
I do go to DC. I love DC, to be honest with you. I'm a lover of DC. They're great food, great culture.
Great food.
Great nightclubs, man, sports. As DC is a great town. And it's not far from New York either. So it's about, you know, 4 hours. So, I mean, it's a train ride. You know, it's the whip train. I think it costs $75. It used to be.
Yes,
but you guys from DC should be going to New York now and then for a weekend.
Yeah, my co-host is actually from New York.
Oh, really? The city? Yes.
Well, he's from Westchester.
Oh boy, I robbed him.
we have the whole staff in the background here all listening. They love that because he was supposed to join us for the earlier conversation, and he was like, "Man, I don't know if I'll tell him that I'm from Westchester because." He's gonna say something funny about it.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, I'm from Long Island or Western. We robbed you or robbed cars in your area. We went to where the people had money, and that's where they went. So, obviously, you have a rich guy in your group right there.
hey, you gotta get him in here, Larry. That's how you get up.
You gotta have everybody. You have to have a collection of people.
Absolutely.
And that's where, you know, that's where the positive... and the collective thinking comes, you know. You can't be all, you know, one-sided. You can't have all people negative. First of all, don't ever be around negative people. Mm. All of you young guys, don't ever be around negative people. That they're energy draws. They're fucking dumb. You know how you know that? If you do acid with them, don't do acid with them because they're the worst fucking people to do acid with. Because that's the only people who have
no, Larry, there go the weekend plans, Larry. Come on.
Don't make the weekend plans go away. Just get rid of him. Because negative people are energy. Listen, that's the truth. They did a lot of studies on acid. And I believe in acid. Don't do it because they'll have a bad trip. Acid just... When I do something like that, I laugh for fucking 6 hours, man. and it's just, I'm literally, my stomach hurts the next day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm literally hurting. I was doing it with, well, forget that. All right. You guys, all of you, I can get off. I do come to DC. Next time I have, have I been texting you?
Yes, you've been texting me. Yes.
Send me your contact card.
Okay.
I'll send you my contact card, you know, that's in the... This way, and you have an iPhone, I hope.
I do, yes. We've been texting on iMessage. Okay, yes.
Okay, yeah. So text me, and I'll send you my card, and you send your card. I usually put notes in those cards saying things that will trigger my mind.
Awesome.
When you meet a lot of people. But if you need anything in D.C., let me know, especially with politics. And also, when I come to D.C., we'll have to do a live show. That'd be a lot of fun. But, yes. Hey, listen, I love your concept, guys. I really think your concept's a winner. It could be a generator, a money generator as well, which you need money to keep funding more and more projects. But it's totally, and I hope you have a business plan, and make sure you just keep changing it because it's an evolving document.
Of course, of course. And again, thank you so much. Yeah, we'll definitely if you're in the area,
we're gonna do a naked podcast. Yep. Everybody in the room. Like
yep,
did
yep,
in mine.
Yep. And we're gonna smoke. That's the thing, Larry. If you come over here to DC,
absolutely,
we'll smoke. And one final thing. We're huge on cigars. That's the thing that I was bringing up. We're huge on cigars here at the Ox Institute, the Crooked Diamond cigar brand. We're gonna have to.
You guys smoke cigars?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was in Miami.
Hold on. Sir. Is anybody right in front of you 21?
Hanlim is. One of us is.
Put him on the mic.
You want me to put him on the mic right now? This is what I'll do. Just because he does have some, he's in an immigration situation because he's on an F1 visa to be here. So, he doesn't want to be involved in anything directly with politics. But
I will never sell a cigar to a 19 or even give a cigar to a 19-year-old, 20-year. That's what I'm saying right here.
Yeah.
But if there's anybody's 21 and they want to text me, I'll send a gift.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll hold you to it, Larry. I'll definitely text you.
My word is my bond.
There you go. I appreciate it. And with that being said, if you guys want to follow anything that's being done with the Ox Institute and Politatine, go to www.oxinstitute.org. And thank you guys so much for tuning in to yet another episode of the podcast.
I'm going to look it up. Better